This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is the crypto trader. Everyone comes to Glenn for chats, including the BBC. It's Glenn Goodman. You're right, Glenn.
Yes, yes, not bad, thank you, Justin. How are you?
Now, normally we record on a Tuesday, for chats, of course, but you said, Justin, sorry, this week I can't do it because I've been called by the BBC to discuss Bitcoin and Tesla and all things related. So you are the go-to guy now. Who are you talking to on the BBC, by the way? Who was you chatting to? I didn't see it. I saw your Twitter, you know, screenshots, but who was you chatting to?
It was Mike... I've forgotten his surname.
Mike's fine. That's right. Mike from the BBC.
Mike from the BBC. Yeah, you'd recognise him. He's one of those. He's one of those long time presenters.
Has he got a roundish face? A roundish face with thinning hair. Is that right? Is that right? And he's a bit nasally. He sounds like he's got a cold. Is that the guy? Anyway, listen. Let me ask a question. So I did not. I saw your Twitter thing. I don't know if you said this or if I thought this. But so Bitcoin has gone bonkers, right? Because of Elon, as you call him. Everyone else calls him Elon, of course.
He said,
just my closest friends call me Elon, please. But
I've been doing that in interviews. I mean Elon.
Yeah, so Tesla has bought 1.5 billion, apparently. I don't know if they can prove this, but 1.5 billion of Bitcoin, and it's gone nuts. Yes. Now, I thought in my head after a while, hang on a sec. The two biggest bubbles at the moment are Bitcoin and Tesla, aren't they? And I don't know if you said this, and you talked about bubbles, because you mentioned bubbles. So essentially, if there's a fall-off in the price of Bitcoin, if some big whale sells and it creates selling and begets selling, then the value of Tesla will also fall. Now, if that starts selling, begets selling, that could create a market sell-off, because that's a big company now, couldn't it? Did you say that in the news thing?
Basically, what I said was that, I said it's a bubble investing in another bubble. So effectively, you have got that kind of risk of a snowball effect. But I also pointed out, I did BBC, Radio 4 as well as... that was a longer interview. And I explained there that the problem is that the US accounting rules... say that if basically Tesla have bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin, which is not a huge chunk of their cash reserves, but it's big enough to make a difference to their profit and loss. Because
how much
of course,
cash they got then? I thought Tesla wouldn't have much cash, to be honest, because they've got
$19 billion spare cash.
Wow.
Invested 1.5 of it. Yeah. But, you see, they have a profitability problem so far. Well, not a problem exactly, but, you know, considering they're, by market cap, one of the biggest companies in the world, it's kind of notable that they still don't actually make much money from selling cars and so on. So they're in a situation where profitability and the profit and loss statement still matters, I think, ultimately. Even though the stock price is in a bubble at the moment, it won't be forever, and people will pay attention to their profit and loss at some point. And the situation they've got is, with the accounting rules, that if the value of their Bitcoin goes down, they have to report that as a loss. So if this $1.5 billion becomes worth, say, $500 million, which is not by any means out of the realms of possibility, because Bitcoin was, you know, it's risen so much in recent times, it could easily fall just as much. You know, that's what happens with volatile issues, as we know. So they'd have to report that as a loss on their statement. But the inverse of that does not stand by US accounting rules. So if the value of Bitcoin goes up and they're making a big profit on their Bitcoin, they can't declare that as a profit until they actually sell the Bitcoin. So unless they make the big decision to offload that Bitcoin, then they can't report it as a profit, only as a loss if it goes down. That's a bit of a major disadvantage, I'd say, for a company.
Yeah,
to
because
invest
if they sell it, I mean, a big chunk of that, and he announces he sells it, that's going to hit the sentiment of Bitcoin and probably all other cryptos, all other altcoins.
Absolutely.
But that bubble, I think you're right, that bubble in a bubble almost, that could create the next sell-off in the markets. Really could, because there's so many people who follow him, just blindly follow him. Like I said, Tesla is also, no one knows how to price this. And like I said, it's gone up and up and up, and it's now valued to more than all the combined car manufacturers altogether, pretty much. And so it's a massive bubble. Now, I just think there's huge contagion issues here for the whole entire market, not just for, you know, crypto and thing. But I think one sentiment, and we need probably another correction. We will probably have one this year, another correction. That may be the source of it. You know, I genuinely think that, because it's really are falling from a great height.
And if stocks plummet like they did back in March 2020, you'll remember stocks plummeted. And Bitcoin plummeted along with it. Have things really changed that much in the Bitcoin world since? Bitcoin is certainly a lot more accepted and more established than it was a year ago.
Yeah, but definitely.
Even so, I suspect that if stocks crashed, Bitcoin could very well crash along with it, just like it did last year. But there is a plus side. I don't want to be all negative, a negative Nelly nonstop here, because there is a plus side, which of course is the fact that if Elon Musk has invested lots of Tesla's cash reserves in Bitcoin, that now sets a good precedent for other companies to do the same. Now, I'm not expecting every large company to suddenly start investing in Bitcoin overnight, because frankly, cash reserves of major corporations are usually invested in cash equivalents, like treasury bonds and sensible things like that. You know, it's not like they have huge share portfolios, usually, your average company. And likewise, I wouldn't expect them to start having massive cryptocurrency portfolios either, because then you end up like that company MicroStrategy, where your share price basically tracks the price of Bitcoin fairly closely, because you're so heavily invested in it and dependent on the fortunes of it. But nonetheless, as I say, this does set a precedent that it's okay to do this now. And you're bound to have in earnings calls with big companies over the coming months, loads of people saying to the, you know, collaring the directors and going, why aren't you putting some of our reserves in Bitcoin? They're earning virtually nothing in the bank. Look, because interest rates are so low, you should be doing what Elon Musk is doing. So, you know, there's going to be some peer pressure going on. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if corporations start investing in Bitcoin, it's still the market cap is only in the hundreds of billions. So you know, if big corporations start putting some of their money into Bitcoin, it's going to drive the price up further. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the price of Bitcoin went up a lot further, but it is very frothy, you know, because it's been rising so fast. So yeah, it's a bit of a difficult situation at the moment with old Bitcoin, because it's risen so far and so fast that my natural instinct is to say, well, there's got to be a big correction soon, surely.
We said this a couple of weeks back, and literally, and because Elon Musk said it's gone up higher again, and I did say recently, I said, if you look at the RSI, it's really odd, because it hit. This is not a good thing. When a share price hits new highs, but the RSI doesn't, then that's showing a bit of a strength isn't there for a big rally. And it's happened again. Literally, the last rally we had, it went up to what 89 on the RSI, and that's when it hits 40,000, and then it would come back down to what 32,000. Now it's rallied to 46. And now the RSI is just about 74. So, yeah, and do you know what? I was talking to someone yesterday. I'm not going to say who it was, but he was saying him and his son are investing in Bitcoin, and they, you know, they're trying to make more money than each other. And I said, yeah, but I said, it's frothy. He said, it's trading, isn't it? I said, yeah, I don't like to do trading. He said, no, but I don't know. But he said, you know, it's only going to go higher. And I said, everyone's thinking that. It's only going to go higher. And generally, the stock market crashes when everyone thinks there's no downside, you know, because everyone's in. And that's
same.
That's
I mean, I've been
thing.
Trying to gauge sentiment, but there are a lot of people on Twitter, sort of financial advisors and so on, who I've just been reading their tweets to try and work out what their clients are saying to them. And a lot of them are trying to convince their clients to buy Bitcoin now because, you know, because of what it is and how much it's rising. And some of them are saying, oh, my clients are still refusing to buy it. So maybe there is still not that consensus out there. Maybe we haven't reached that point where everybody wants to buy Bitcoin. I don't know. It's very hard to judge these things. You know, we want that proverbial shoeshine boy, don't we, from which I wrote about in my book,
my father,
the 1929 story about how the shoeshine boy was giving
Don't mention it.
Why don't mention it? Why?
Because I mention it every weekend on the weekend podcast, and the weekend my mates
right.
just make fun of me, saying, oh, isn't there a story about that? And about a guy, and they change their names every time. I know. I'd mention it so often. No, but my father, I think this is the shoeshine guy. He's like the 75-year-old guy who asked me about buying Bitcoin. At 32, or in fact, as 40 it was, it went back to 32. But again, he's probably saying to me, why didn't you let me buy it at 40? You know, so people now who are at 40, and it's people collected them saying, don't buy it here, it's an all time high and it's rallied again. They're probably getting in now at 46, 47, you know. So it's like, I think the top is very close. Maybe
well, it's
maybe
very mainstream again now, isn't it? Let's face it. And the last time
50,
I was being invited on mainstream things like Radio 4 and BBC One, because this was on BBC One as well. So once you're on BBC One and Radio 4, the last time that happened was in 2017, and then I went through a few years where I'm on, like, you know, the BBC Rolling News channel and sort of, you know, the stuff that isn't quite so high profile, and now we're back on the mainstream again. So there's a toppy sign for you, the fact that I'm being invited onto the news outlets that older people
Do you know, again, I just realized when Glenn is on mainstream TV talking about crypto, that's the top. They're only interested with fever pitch when things are boiling. When things are boiling, when things are boiling over, it rises to the top of the news agenda or close to it. That's when it's boiling, red hot. And similarly, when you get the big sell-offs, and if you get on for like 2 or 3 days, and then it gets to the mainstream media and it's on News at 6, that's when it top up in long-term funds. You know, that kind of thing is when in next week, so give it a week to cool off, then start topping up in your fund, and that's when you get a good price. But you know what I just realised then? What I was seeing here is last time stocks fell and Bitcoin fell in sentiment alongside it, you know? This time, I think it's the other way around. I think the first time ever we're going to see how powerful Bitcoin's become, it's going to fall and it's going to provoke a fall in stocks because Tesla's in there and they'll take a hit. That's one of the biggest, hottest stocks, most well-known stocks around. And so now the crypto will lead the markets, whereas before the markets have loved the crypto. That's just showing how powerful, how mainstream the crypto has become, you know?
That will be very interesting if it happens that way round, I must say. The real dilemma we have at this stage of a frothy market is, and it's the same in 2017, is that, you know, the price can rise so fast after this.
Yeah.
That's what, and it's really hard to resist. It was the same in the sort of dot-com bubble in the late 90s when everybody was taking the mickey out of Warren Buffett because he was refusing to get involved in the craziness that was going on. But, you know, while he was proved right in the longer run, there's that temptation, isn't there, that, okay, what if the price of Bitcoin doubles and doubles again from here, which it could easily do before it crashes? Then maybe I'd feel a bit stupid not being involved in it. So I'm still kind of keeping
a foot
in.
Are you not in it?
No. I'm in and out is what I'm doing, you see. I'm trying to be a little bit more short-term in my trades. Not short-term, but sort of, you know, trading the intermediate trends so that hopefully I wouldn't get caught out by a massive, you know, by the big one, as it were, the big crash.
Listen.
So I'm just trying to trade the kind of, you know, the trends that last for maybe a week or even a month, but not like the big trend anymore, because I don't want to get stuck in that.
I reckon it's going to touch 50 again, and it's going to come down. I've just been looking at the chart going back to December. You probably remember this, December, January 2017, sorry, December 2018. January 2018, we know what happened then. That was the last sort of big crazy rise when Bitcoin hit the news headlines pretty much before this time. And I look at the RSI there, right? Exactly the same what's happening here. In December the 7th, 2017, Bitcoin hit 16,000. The RSI was at 894, right? So higher than it is the last one. Then right. It came back down a little bit, rose again to almost 20,000. The RSI, though, didn't. RSI came down to 80. And just to say, it rallied again on less strength. And then all of a sudden, we know what happened from there, don't we? It grinded lower and lower for the next 3 years. And the winters of the crypto winters may be shorter now because there's more institutional investment, more liquidity. But what I'm saying is that we're setting up here for a similar kind of formation on the RSI and the strength and the momentum that we had back in 2017-18 when that crash happened in the winter of 3 years. So it's been interesting to see. Like you say, it may rally again on froth for a while yet, but I reckon 50,000. When in doubt, always look for the round figure. 50,000, it's touched that recently. Let's see if it gets up above that again. And but yeah, I think, you know, people will be saying, I told you so, didn't I? When people see it never coming down, though, that's always a worry. You know, I think that's it's going. But it's going to get harder and harder now to get to double your money from here. It's going to get $100,000. The market cap is massive then, isn't it? You know.
Exactly. Well, that's partly why I'm concentrating mainly on looking at smaller cryptos now, the ones that are still doubling and doubling and doubling. And there have been plenty of them in recent weeks. Well, at the moment,
Let me ask you a question. My nephew's he's actually in hospital, actually. He's got rushed in. It's scary. But he's into crypto, and he held ETH. He bought it around about 800, I think, or 600. And he's holding that. It's amazing. Hold, if you get a good price, just hold, because you know it's regarded as one of the best and one of the biggest, brightest futures. He's talking about Bitcoin and Cardano. You're talking about and Litecoin. What do you think of those?
Yeah. Cardano is doing very, very well at the moment, and I've been in and out of it. I've made some profit there. Comp, I've just bought. XLM, that's Stellar, in other words. LRC. Is another one. At ZEC, literally my stop order has been triggered while we're recording this podcast, so I'm now in
these,
that.
What are the names of these as well?
ZEC is short for Zcash, and that's one of the famous ones. It's an anonymous cryptocurrency, you know, helps people do. Basically, it's one of those that might eventually get banned, you can't ban a decentralized cryptocurrency, but you know, it could be outlawed by the United States because it allows anybody who's doing nefarious things to kind of hide their identity fairly successfully. But nonetheless, Zcash, I like the chart, I like the technology. And I've just
Zcash? What is it? What does it do?
Well, I've just told you. Anonymity is the main calling card. Yeah. So and you know, in a world where Bitcoin is not anonymous, contrary to popular belief, and police do track down people who use Bitcoin for nefarious deeds. So basically what I'm saying is I want to invest in the thing that the criminals want to use. It's a growing market for criminality. No, I don't know. Zcash is clever and it can be used, you know, by let's look at it in a more positive way. It can be used by people in totalitarian countries like China and so on to cloak their identity and allow them to experience some freedom of transaction which they wouldn't otherwise have. And that's the benefit of it. Criminals, let's not talk about them. They're not we don't like them. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, Zcash, at this point in time, I'm trading speculatively. Okay. These aren't necessarily long-term investments I'm making.
Well, none of them are. You're a dirty trader, Glenn. You're a dirty. Don't pretend you're an investor that takes a lot of due diligence and time. You're in and out dirty trading.
No. Well,
scalping a profit here. You don't care what the business is, the underlying business. The underlying business could be whores and drugs. You don't care as long as you're scalping, you know, 10, 20% here and there. You don't care.
Oh, I care about the whores and the drugs. No, I do.
Yeah, too much.
You're just going to clip out just that one line.
Use
that as my answer. Those are some of the cryptos that I'm in at the moment, the ones I've just mentioned. But don't be surprised if even by the time the podcast goes out, I'm no longer in them because they are speculative investments. And the reason is that we are so frothy now with Bitcoin and Ethereum. You know, they've risen so far. And any any crash in those will drag down, no doubt, every other crypto. So, you know, I could easily be stopped out of all of those cryptos very easily. But you know, there's huge profit potential there, which is why I'm continuing to speculate, even in what I consider to be now quite a dangerous market.
Yeah. No, do you know what? People can say it's going to the moon, it's going to $100,000 million. All I know is this, you know, when everyone's very excited about something and they only think it goes one way, it's the old adage again, you know, everyone's on one side of the boat. Generally, the boat tips up. You know, when everyone's thinking, ooh, this is going high now, all the institutions are going to be... And when you can't see any downside... The downside happens generally, and that's.
But you keep saying when everyone's thinking, we don't know that everyone's thinking.
No,
I bet,
the retail
half the listeners to this podcast right now are thinking.
Hang on, you just said
down.
That.
I'll buy it when it's 20,000. I bet everyone's thinking that.
No, you have no idea that. You just said
no,
about
I have
half.
No idea.
You can't
You're
take
right.
a
survey. I'm just paying devil's advocate. I don't know. It's hard. It's so hard to judge.
Yeah, all I'm saying is this: from retail people. I'm getting asked about all the time about Bitcoin and should have bought this and I'm buying some. And my father even has a good sentiment, litmus test. My father, 74, you know, has a problem getting on the internet, you know, generally. Isn't really tech and savvy, you know, which is not...
Does he call it Tinternet?
Yeah, no fault of his own, because he's born in a generation where the internet, you know, wasn't around at all and he was in his... What is it, 20 years ago? He was in his 50s when it came about. So, you know, no fault of his own.
Yeah.
But when people like that are trying to get into a new tech they have no idea about because it's so hot and it's on the main... That's when you should worry. It's the old shoeshine guy, you know, analogy. That's
old
all.
Old shoeshine guy.
Yeah. Anything else? That. Anything else, Glenn? Anything else worth chatting about? Okay, goodbye.
Well, stocks.
I don't stocks. You're the crypto guy. We don't stocks, really. No,
I love the stocks. Actually, I prefer the stocks to the crypto.
Don't pretend you're an investor now, Glenn.
Higher and higher.
We have you down as a dirty crypto trader. You can't clean yourself now in the first 2 minutes. Last 2 minutes of the podcast. You can't. You know, you're already dirty. Okay, you can't clean yourself. Pretend you're an investor. You can't put on the clothes of an investor because underneath. Your skin is dirty. It's a dirty trader's skin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. I guess so. Oh, so, buy my book because there's only one left at Amazon.
It's going crazy,
right,
isn't
it? There's only one left in stock.
That's another sign that we're at the top of the market in Bitcoin. When Glenn's book is selling like crazy, that people are genuinely super interested in it. They weren't interested when it was like, $3,000 for a Bitcoin, but now they are 46,000, 47,000.
Now it's got that number one bestseller stamp next to it. Number one bestseller. I mean,
is that you literally go in the shop and put a stamp on it? Look at that. Stamp it. Get that guy out of the shop. Again, what is he doing in here?
But yeah, you're absolutely right because, you know, my book was, I'm probably selling 10 times as many books as I was a couple of months ago.
So you're selling 10?
Things. Yeah, pretty much.
That's good. It's good that you should actually do a chart of book sales correlated to the Bitcoin price, you know, and just see where it goes. That's quite interesting that. Do that. Quite interesting. Well, I don't know if it's an interesting fall, really. But Glenn, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak you next week.
Okay.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.